Amen. Turn to Colossians, and that great song we've just sung makes me go back to chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, just for a moment. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. There, that's what that song was based on. Colossians 2, verse 9. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Not a sermon on the incarnation, but our salvation is based on the incarnation. All right, Colossians 3, verses 18 down to chapter 4. We're beginning this new subsection here this morning. And I'd like to just read this section as we begin it. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 18. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Well, we've moved from relationships within the wider body of Christ to the relationships with our own families. Now, of course, all those earlier verses apply to our relationships with our families, the forbearance, the forgiving, the tender mercy. That's extended to our families as well as to all one another. But at this point, Paul rather abruptly switches, and he does focus on our families and our households. So we have spiritual brothers and sisters, and we have physical brothers and sisters. And we are focused on that whole section here right now. And a section like this is a technical term in early Greek and Roman literature, the household code. And you can find them. You can find other household codes, Romans, Greeks, and they're like this. And then they're not like this. They're like it, but they're not. And what an amazing portion of Scripture we have here. So it's obvious that becoming Christians and becoming part of a spiritual family does not lessen the importance of our physical family. That's very obvious. Now, you know, some could have gotten that idea listening to Jesus. And sometimes in the first century, and even now, people get that idea that, well, I'm part of the spiritual family, and that's really the big thing, and that's what counts. And I can neglect my immediate physical family. And Jesus made some pretty powerful statements that could be misused that way. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, you see, that text could be abused. You think so? Sure. Our sinful minds and hearts could take that text and abuse it. Here's another one. My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. So, people could abuse those texts, couldn't they, to avoid their family responsibilities. Not a good thing to do, but when we take the New Testament as a whole, certainly not the case that becoming Christians lessens any of our responsibility toward our immediate family members. It certainly doesn't. Not at all. Notice the phrase here in Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. So right there, as is fitting in the Lord. So this relationship in our families is fitting in the Lord. It's not something that we ignore. And so the creation of a new humanity in Christ, and Paul talks that way here in Colossians, we've talked about it, the creation of a new humanity in Christ does not spell an end of existing social relationships. Wives, husbands, children, masters, servants. The creation of a new humanity does not spell an end to all those earthly relationships, but their transformation and restoration. Those relationships ought to be transformed and restored as we're part of a new humanity. And that's what this passage is about. It's fitting in the Lord that His Lordship transforms our family relationships, or should, or that should be our goal. All the relationships listed here that I've read to you relate to the family household, including the matter of slavery. That's what this passage is talking about. Okay? It was not uncommon for Greek and Roman households to have bond servants, slaves, in that household environment. That's what this passage is about. So all of the things here relate to the household, we might say. There are two other significant passages exactly like this in Ephesians 5 and the passage we just read in Peter. These passages have come under sustained attack from major aspects of our culture during the last few generations. And such attacks don't confine themselves really only to the family matters. Often, these family passages are put forth as a sufficient reason to discredit the entire New Testament and its authors. And these passages are the main line in many institutions to discredit Paul, to discredit Peter, and to discredit Jesus himself. These passages are used that way. Now, I'm not planning on addressing these hostile treatments of these passages during our AM worship service, because I believe that most of you assembled here do believe these are the Lord's commands. And what we need and desire is encouragement and assistance to obey and do and practice what's here. And so I'm not going to go into all those apologetic issues of how these passages are being used. However, we need to address that as a church in an apologetic setting, and we do need to do that somewhere, and I'll be talking to the elders about that. I was starkly reminded as I began to study this passage, the level of hostility against Christianity as a whole that is flowing from a passage like this. And as a church, we need to be prepared to do that. But we'll do that in some other setting. But we're here this morning as we're praising our Lord and speaking both of our sinfulness and our need for His grace and His provision. We're here to seek to learn to obey these passages and make progress. And I'm here just as you are on these subjects. So, let's begin with a few words regarding authority in the New Testament in general. The command for wives to submit to their husbands is one call to respect authority among many. We are often called to voluntarily put ourselves under the authority of someone else. Let me just quickly show you how much of this is in Scripture. Hebrews 12, verse 9. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? You notice that verb, readily be in subjection. That is, to want to voluntarily put ourselves under the Father of spirits. James 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee to you. Romans 8, 7, we are to be subject to the law of God. We are to submit ourselves under the law of God's, the authority of God's law. Ephesians 5, 24, the church is commanded to be submitted to Christ. We are to be subject to the governing authorities. Romans 13 and a number of other places, submit to the ruling authorities. Christians are to submit to their leaders and obey those who rule over them in the church. Slaves are to be subject to their masters. Young men are to be subject to older men. Children are to obey their parents. Wives are to submit to their husbands. And finally, we are all called to submit to one another. So there, a whole bunch of relationships that imply authority, an authority that should be respected. And so, if you take this list seriously, you see that we are all under multiple lines of authority. We all are. And the Lord has spelled it out, what those lines of authority are. And there's quite a few. And we as Christians realize that authority flows from the Lord Himself. That's the transformational thing that begins to happen when you're converted. Wives really aren't simply submitting to their husbands. They're what? Obeying the Lord. We are not simply submitting to the government placed over us in our nation. We're submitting to authority from the Lord. Servants aren't ultimately submitting to their earthly masters. They're submitting to authority that came from God. And suddenly everything, wow, this is really different. And all those relationships of authority are from the Lord. And so that's the context in which we have this one. We have a number of it in this passage, that wives submit to your husbands. The other thing by way of introduction here, God's design for marriage certainly underlies this authority structure. The two shall become one. And there's one head over one. And the husband is the head of the wife. But it is the two have become one. And that, of course, relates to the fact that you don't have two authorities. The two shall become one, and there's one head. And so this whole idea of how our marriages ought to function, it's based on what marriage itself is. So the fundamental idea is that the husband is to lead his family, especially his wife. And a wife is to follow her husband's leadership and headship and direction. Christ has placed husbands as fathers, husbands and fathers as the primary authority in the family. And this arrangement then, of course, assumes that a husband will make his will known. It assumes, men, that we're supposed to be leaders. The Bible doesn't say husbands lead your families. You can assume it does say that. Because our wives are supposed to follow us. And there needs to be something there to follow. And, of course, all too quickly, we reverse the roles. All too quickly, we husbands don't lead. And you ladies are more than willing to start leading. And it's a circle. And that's what we do. Sin is like that. But the implication there, men, is that we are to be leaders. If they are to follow and submit. If we are to be the head, then we are to be leaders. And the Bible talks a lot about how we ought to lead. And we'll look at that next week some. So that's the whole idea here. Now, what does it mean to submit? The King James Version and the New International Version translate this as submit yourselves, emphasizing that this is a voluntary submission. And they likely translate submit yourselves is likely based on the middle voice of the verb here and in Ephesians. The middle voice of the verb is in both of those texts. And now by voluntary submission, I don't mean optional. I don't mean optional, but by voluntary submission, what I mean is willing, willingly. Now, this, of course, reflects our submission to Christ. It's not optional, but when the relationship is right, we willingly submit ourselves to Him. And that's really the only kind of real submission. You know, the little child was in the corner sitting down, and he said, "I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." Now, that's not, in all of these authority relationships that I've just read, that's not the kind of submission that's described here. And thus the middle verb in those two places. This is a submission that to the Lord or whatever authority He's established, that we do that willingly. And you're going to see that in this bondservant passage, not with eye service only, but from the heart. That's going to come out. So what it means to submit here is that wives willingly submit themselves to the leadership and the authority and the direction of their husbands. That's the ideal of how it should function in our marriage. Now notice also in the expression, "to your own husband," in the New King James Version. Now this is a textual variant here in Colossians regarding your own, the word own husband. But it's explicit in the Ephesians parallel. So we can understand it surely is part of this commandment. Ephesians, "wives, submit to your own husbands." And yeah, there is an emphasis here that needs to be clarified. Women are not required to submit to men in general. They're not. I mean, a lot of cultures sometimes carry that attitude, and men carry this ungodly attitude around like, well, women are in general in all places, they're just supposed to submit to men. And you see that ugly stuff in a lot of cultures. Submit yourselves to your own husband. Not to men in general, your own husbands. This is a submission that's based on a relationship. Got it? Submission based on the relationship. And that's true of all those submissions. Based on the relationship. So, no, women are not required to submit to men in general. Neither are your children required to submit to adults in general. I mean, how horrible would that be? Your children aren't required to submit to adults in general. They're required to submit to the parents. Why? Because those are the ones who have been given the authority. Got it? Authority is given. It comes from God. And He gives it to certain people in certain capacities, in certain relationships to exercise it. And for your children, they're not required to submit to other people's parents. Not in the same sense at all. They're required to submit to you as their parent who has been given authority for your own children. So, submit to your own husbands. Concerning the language of submit or obey, is there any difference? The words submit and obey are surely different. And in Colossians 3:18 through 22, if you were listening, wives are exhorted to be submissive, to submit to their own husbands. Children are commanded to obey their parents. Bondslaves are commanded to obey in all things their masters. And this may be a signal that some nuancing is required here. It's not quite the same. But it should be pointed out that Peter mentioned Sarah obeying Abraham in the scripture reading that we just read. So it's not an odious idea to obey your husband. That's not an odious thing. Sarah did it fearing the Lord. But in all cases, when women are commanded, the command is to submit. Children and slaves are commanded to obey. Now, the spirit of submission is expressed in the parallel text in Ephesians 5 with the words, "as unto the Lord." Our submission to Christ ought to be willing and thorough. Correct? As unto the Lord. How should we submit to Christ? We ought to submit willingly and thoroughly. Willingly and thoroughly. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. That's the calling. Not distasteful and partial. Not with resignation. And you know, that's difficult. Wives, your husbands want you to want to follow them. Understand? You want to encourage your husbands? Express a desire to follow them. That will encourage them. They're supposed to lead. They should lead without that. But you want to encourage your husbands? Express a desire to follow them. Not a resignation. All right, I'll do it. And after you've been married 2 or 3 years, you don't even have to say that, but you just read each other. No, it should be willing and voluntary. Ideally, that's the goal. And many times, husbands will stop leading, and that's not right, because their wives seem to be just following with resignation, so they'll just stop. And that isn't right, men. That isn't right. Neither is the attitude on the wife's part of just, yeah, I'm sitting down on the stool, but I'm standing up on the inside. It isn't just children that feel that way. No, that's the submission, a willing and thorough. The spirit of submission, that's the goal. That's what we're called to, as unto the Lord. And you see, that also makes a difference, though. You see, it's as what? Unto the Lord. You're not just submitting to your husbands. You're submitting to the Lord. And Paul does the same thing with the governmental authorities. Right? He does the same thing with the governmental authorities. There in Romans chapter 13. So just as a Christian submission, for example, to governmental authority is to the Lord, who established the authorities. So, being submissive is more than a string of separate acts of submitting. It's an attitude or a state of mind, both regarding the Lord and your husbands. That's what it is. It's not just a string of separate acts of submitting. It is an attitude regarding your husbands and the Lord. And ladies, it's unlikely that you will become a submissive wife unconsciously. Just as it's unlikely that we husbands will unconsciously, consistently love our wives and exercise a loving leadership. We're not going to unconsciously do these things. Maybe after, by God's grace, we mature and it becomes more habitual and a heart, it becomes more unconscious. But I would encourage you that this is something that consciously you need to work on. You need to consciously pursue submission as unto the Lord, correct? I mean, if you want to walk with the Lord, you consciously pursue that kind of submission, don't you? Lord, what am I to do? What do you want me to do in this situation? What am I supposed to be doing? As unto the Lord, you're consciously pursuing that relationship and that submission. Now, Paul gives a reason for submitting here in the Colossians text. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. That's the reason. This can only mean that this authority structure is from the Lord. It's not some cultural thing to be done away with. Hey, sorry, I went over to the apologetic side. Be submissive to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. This is appropriate. It is the appropriate way a wife should act in her marriage relationship. A relationship which is from the Lord and established by the Lord. What God has joined together, Jesus says, let no man put apart. So that relationship is something that God made. So this is a relationship established by the Lord, and therefore it is fitting that we follow His commands in these relationships. So that's the reason, as is fitting in the Lord. And it's one thing for those outside of Christ to seek to throw this off, but it's highly not fitting for believers who are in Christ to resist commands which are fitting in the Lord. Okay? So we should not. Now, all of that said, are there limits to a wife's submission to her husband? Yes, there are. The Lord's authority supersedes a husband's authority. This principle applies in all delegated authority. I mean delegated from God, whether that be the government over its citizens, whether that be masters over servants, whether that be elders over the church, parents over their children, husbands over their wives. The principle of delegated authority that applies in all these authority relationships is that delegated authority cannot direct a person to violate God's commandments. And in such cases, one must respectfully not submit. So there are limits. God's authority is the final authority. And no delegated authority can direct anyone to violate God's commandments. And that's why Christians could not call Caesar Lord. And that's why Daniel continued to pray out his window, even though he was the best servant Nebuchadnezzar ever had. In this case, he did not submit. And so there are limits. Now, oh boy. In our culture, I'll just say this, our culture has tried to eviscerate the authority in all these relationships except one, and that's the government. As our authority has eviscerated the authority between husband and wife, parents and children, and all these things, and in the church, they've eviscerated the authority, they've taken it out, they've put it all between government and us. That's where the authority has increased and the control has increased. Think about it. Okay? They've rejected the authority in all these relationships that God has established. And as a society, what? Goes out of control, what's going to happen? It becomes more totalitarian, doesn't it? That's exactly what's happening. But we are to be different. We are to be good citizens, good husbands, good wives. We are to care for our children. We are to teach our, and all of these things. These things are all very important. So there are limits. There are limits. Submission does not mean putting a husband in the place of Christ. Think of it this way. Ladies, you are disciples of Christ, not of your husband or anyone else. I'm very zealous about that. Who are Christians disciples of? Not their pastors, not their elders. You're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Yeah, we talk about being discipled by others. That's okay. But we're disciples of Christ. And ladies, you are under Christ's authority, and that's a direct relationship. Your relationship to Christ does not pass through your husband. And it's ugly at times when you see that. Yeah, you're to submit to your husband. You're to follow your husband's authority. But you're a disciple of Christ. Your husband is not in the place of Christ in the relationship. This, of course, means that there is one exception to submission. And that is when your husband's command is calling you to disobey Christ. In such cases, you must respectfully disobey. And you have as much authority as he has in discussing Christ's commands. You do. And now this is difficult if you're unequally yoked. And some of you have unbelieving husbands or unbelieving wives. And so this is really difficult, but not impossible. And the Scripture addresses that too. So there are some limits here. Now, I would also urge you men one other thing regarding limits to the exercise of your authority. I would urge you considerateness in one other area, and that is regarding your wives' consciences. The Scriptures place obeying one's conscience nearly on the level of obeying God. Now, of course, our consciences can be falsely informed. That's true. But husbands are not exercising their authority properly when they are putting their wives into a position of violating their Christian consciences or having serious doubts as to the rightness of what we are requiring them to do. You are not Lord of your wife's conscience. Jesus Christ is. And when you have a wife who is submitted to the Lordship of Christ, and her conscience throws up a flag, as a wise leader, you ought to also submit it to the Lordship of Christ, correct? That is something you should really dialogue about. That is something that's not a place to pull rank, to be blunt, if you have a wife who is genuinely submitted to the Lordship of Christ. And you are seeking to do something or lead your household to do something or have her do something. And she genuinely has conscience problems. You need to work through that. And you know the Word of God has a lot to say about that situation. So, and wives, you may be helping your husbands in those situations. I mean, I find that has come up in my relationship with my wife. Her conscience is more sensitive and mature about things in my heart. And women are that way. Women are more concerned how we're going to affect other people by what we do. And us men tend to just run over people at times in what we're doing. So are there limits? Yeah, there are some of those limits. And finally, without elaborating, I want to be clear that submission to your husbands does not require submission to physical or verbal abuse. That's all I'm going to say. Submission to your husband does not require submitting to physical or verbal abuse. So there are some limits. Now, let's talk about some practical matters in all of this. For those of you who are single, you should consider these matters before you say, "I do." Yeah, you should. Ladies, you should ask, is this the man that I am willing to trust enough to submit to his leadership and direction? That's what you should be asking. Is this the man whom I'm willing for the children I bear to be under his authority? You should seriously ask those questions before you say, "I do." You can no longer get up in the morning the same way you used to. Once you're married, you cannot get up in the morning the same way you used to as a single. Men, does this woman demonstrate an ability and desire to function under God constituted authority? Do I desire the responsibility at this time in my life to lead a wife and children? Once you say, "I do," you have added these responsibilities to your life permanently, men. When you do that, you can no longer get up in the morning the same way you used to. Is this the woman who I am willing for the children I bear to be under her authority? Am I willing for my daughter, my son, to be under her authority? Because they are. They will be. So before you say, I do, you should seriously think through these things. And then by all means say, I do. Because marriage is from the Lord. But if you can't seriously deal with these kind of things, then don't get married. And that's not a sin. That's an option. Marriage is optional. You don't have to enter this covenant. Now, most people will, and the way God has created us, most people will. But you can hold on to your singleness and be godly. Okay? Other practical matters. Submission is not based upon lesser intelligence, competence, or that wives should give up independent thought. Husbands should avail themselves to the wisdom and experience of their wives. God made Eve as a helper to Adam. And Eve reflects the image of God in ways that Adam needs. Husbands should listen to their wives. You know, you can make many, and you should make many decisions together. Sure. Even the church is run that way, right? It isn't the pastor ruling the church. It's the elders who all have rank over each other. I mean, it's a little bit different. It's somewhat different, but it's somewhat the same. We all, as elders, have authority over each other. We're not compromising that authority by working through a decision together. That's not a compromise. Leading doesn't mean you know everything, men. It means you initiate and ensure the process goes forward to make and execute wise decisions. And you have the final word. You do have the final word. Sooner or later, a decision has to be made. And you can't shirk the responsibility of having that final word. And you ladies should be willing to submit to that final word. You should. And if you're wise, you will lead in making those decisions. And you won't shirk your responsibility in making the decision. And you won't hide behind what you really think. As a leader, you need to say what you think. And wives, you need to hear what your husband thinks. So, it doesn't mean that women are of lesser intelligence or competence and all these other things. Wives should trust their husbands. And we might not be as dumb as you think. And remember, God will protect you even if we are dumb. Let me make that more certain. God will protect you when we are dumb. Okay? Abraham did some dumb things. And probably that was a place where Sarah should not have submitted. Probably. But the Lord protected her anyways. Okay? She probably should not have submitted in that situation. Those of you who know your Bible, you know what I'm talking about. But the Lord protected her. But wives should trust their husbands. If you want to encourage your husband's leadership, trust him. See, I see some men affirming that, ladies. They'll say, oh no, you think we should do that? Yep. Takes trust to follow. And when you trust your husband, it will go a long way in making your following him easy. And of course, husbands should seriously work at being trustworthy. Big deal. Big, big deal. Working at being trustworthy. Now, ladies, of course, when your husbands do what the Lord tells them to do, that makes it much easier to submit. Yes, but you know what I'm going to say. Your submission cannot be deferred until your husband performs in some way. And I'm going to say the same thing next week, the other direction. Yes, following your husband is much easier when he does what he's supposed to do. But your submission cannot be deferred until your husband performs in some way. If you do this, you are disobeying the Lord, to whom ultimately you are called to submit. It's that straightforward. Not easy, but it is straightforward. Now, the Scriptures display great wisdom in the commands and the warnings given to wives and husbands. The Scriptures know the sinful tendencies we have, and this awareness is reflected in the commands addressed to each gender. Wives are explicitly urged to submit because they have a tendency to contend. And now I'm going to do what almost no Christian books on marriage do and what no sermons on marriage do. I am going to mention verses in Proverbs. And the Scripture emphasizes to each gender our sinful tendency. Proverbs 21:19 reads, "Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman." Contending. That's not a submissive attitude. And that line, that proverb, is repeated 4 times. There is this tendency. And depending how you understand Genesis 3, it's right there. And I believe that's what's going on in Genesis 3. The Lord says the wife is going to have this tendency to push against the authority of her husband. It's right there in Genesis 3. It's there in Proverbs. It's a warning. And this warning is repeated 3 more times in Proverbs. Almost all Christian books and seminars never mention these passages. And that's sad. That's sad. Ladies, you have this tendency to be contentious toward your husbands. And we're going to find in the next verse, we have a tendency to what? Be harsh and bitter. It's coming in the next verse toward men. We're fools, male and female fools, if we don't heed the warnings that Scripture say, the way we're bent in sin. We're twisted and bent. And Scripture reflects how women are twisted and bent and how men are twisted and bent. Scripture reflects that. So, don't be contentious. Husbands have to be told to love their wives. Wives have to be told to submit to their husbands. Now, there are a few notable advantages of being under authority. There are many situations where you need not waste a lot of time and energy in indecision. In such situations, the obvious thing the Lord would have you do is to ask your husbands for direction. You realize that? That's a great advantage. I don't know what to do here. I'm not sure what to do. Let's see. Has God provided any sources for you? Well, God's provided your husband. He's to lead. He's to follow. He's to nourish. He's to cherish. I'm not sure what to do. Well, ask your husbands what you should do. Do it. That's what you should do, as unto the Lord. I'm not sure what to do. I ask the Lord. I'm not sure what to do, Lord. I'm not sure what to do, Lord. And the Lord says, follow your husband, follow your husband. Not sure what to do, Lord. Ask your husbands. And in an indirect way, it'll kind of be a fire under them. I don't know. Well, that's great leadership. That's real protection, right? You know, authority is protection. Yeah, of course it is. In all these relationships, authority is protection. It's supposed to be. Exercised correctly, authority is protection. So, what a wonderful thing. And this submission extends to everything. Ephesians, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That's pretty broad. Now, obviously, if you husbands are wise, you say, you know, the kitchen, I delegate that to you. I'm a doofus in the kitchen. Help me. God created you to help me. You got to work it out. Submission in everything doesn't mean, you know, you tell your wife every single thing to do. She's far more equipped than needing that because God made her to help. Of course, you can delegate the authority. But there are many situations where you need to ask your husbands what to do and save a lot of time or whatever, safety. Now, husbands, here's one of many places where leadership is sacrificial. If Christ calls your wife to be subject in everything, then you can't simply say in words or action, I'm busy, go figure it out for yourself. Or do what you want with the kids. I don't care. Bad, bad, bad. No. Leadership is sacrificial. And so here I am encouraging our ladies to come and ask us, what do you want me to do? Or what should I do? Well, there better be somebody on the end of the phone line, you know. Men? Yeah. Sacrificial leadership. That's why I say, when you get married, young men, the next day you wake up, it's never going to be the same because of the role that you're now in. And you're not encouraging your wife's submission if you respond that way when they actually come seeking leadership and direction. And you might find that their minds are far more complicated than yours. And you'll have to be patient with that. Well, I didn't know that. I thought there was only two things that related to this. Now there's 15. That's right. God made that mind. Now the argument works both ways. 50% of the people are like me. So ladies, if you use that argument, just remember, it works both ways. But the other 50% are like me. Works both ways. So, but there's a notable advantage, ladies, in that regard. There's also a notable peace advantage available, knowing that obeying your husband equals obeying Christ. Your husband is not in the position of Christ, but Christ calls you to follow Him and submit to Him. So you can know you're doing the will of Jesus Christ. Do you realize how much peace can come when you know that? When you're racked at times? What do I do here? I don't know how to handle this situation. I'm not sure what to do. And we can be racked with indecision, trying to figure out what to do. Ladies, you can have peace. You can go to your husband and say, what should I be doing? What should we do here? What should I do? If your husband leads, then you do that. And you know you're following Christ. That's not the case with us as husbands. But you can know that. And that's a place for great peace. Great peace and security. I'm sure that's what Sarah did. And God honored it. I still think she shouldn't have submitted, but she did. And God honored it. Yeah. Now, as with all the commands of God, the commands to wives and husbands cannot be properly obeyed outside the operation of the gospel in people's lives. The gospel is still the foundation. The forgiving, the patience, the tender care, still the foundation. And here's what you can apply. Apply the preceding verse. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Apply that to your relationship with each other as wives and husbands. Can I respond to my husband in this way in the name of the Lord Jesus? See? Whatever you do in word or deed. Okay, wives, can I respond to my husband in the name of the Lord Jesus this way? Apply that, the previous verse. Apply that overall principle to your relationship with your husband. And men, do the same. Can I do this? Can I treat my wife this way in the name of the Lord Jesus? Apply that. It's based on the gospel. Christ is Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank You for all things that You have made and created. Thank You for Your redemption that is setting things right. Thank You for Your reconciliation between You and us, which gives us a foundation to be reconciled with one another in our relationships. Oh God, help us forgive and be forgiving and to ask for forgiveness. Lord, give us the wisdom and the might by Your Spirit to follow Your authority wherever it is expressed, for You are good and You make no mistakes. Lord, we acknowledge we don't obey Your commands as wives and as husbands. So we ask for Your help, Lord. That's what we ask for. Your help to respect You. And then, Lord, we will love and respect each other. Thank You for not giving up on us, Father. Thank You for Your promises. Thank You for Your chastening and Your discipline. Thank You for Your forgiveness. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.